Amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare namai vakevalam. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatir anyata. I'd like to speak tonight from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of knowledge, which we call Vedas. And the section I'm going to be speaking about, let me give you some background information. In the beginning of the present age, the age of Kali, which began the very day Lord Krishna left this planet, during the early years of this Kali Yuga, there was an assembly of great saintly persons. They assembled in a forest known as Naimisharanya. Their leader was Shaunaka Rishi. And they decided to spend many, many years performing sacrifice for the benefit of us, the people of Kali Yuga. And they decided that they would hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami, who had been present when the Bhagavatam was first recited in public by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And indeed, Shukadeva Goswami predicted that Suta Goswami would later preach this Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya. So the process begins, questions and answers. The sages of Naimisharanya asked Suta Goswami six very important questions. One of the final questions was, now that Krishna has left for his abode, where will the people go for a shelter in this dark age of Kali? Where will they find hope? Where will they find relief? And the answer, Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun. How was the sun today? Huh? Very bright, very strong, especially if you live in the valley. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun. It's brilliant. It doesn't need anything else. It is completely independent. It is supreme. And in the course of Suta Goswami's answering the questions, Suta Goswami describes the incident of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is an incarnation of God. He's an empowered incarnation. He's the father of the three famous brothers, Pandu, Dhritarashtra, Vidura, from which the whole Mahabharata begins. It's all about the three brothers. So Vyasadeva, one day, he woke up and was beginning his spiritual practices, sadhana. But on this particular day, Vyasadeva was disturbed. His mind was not peaceful. And he was trying to figure out what's wrong. At that very moment came his spiritual master, the great Narada Muni, the transcendental spaceman, who can, on his own will, can go to heaven, to hell, to the spiritual. He can go anywhere at will. He doesn't need an airplane ticket or the pat down or the, no. He can just go independent. He has that special potency from Krishna. He has special instrument which was given to him by Krishna. And when he plays that instrument, what comes out? Radhika Ramana, everyone say. He strokes that instrument, that's the sound it makes, not twang twang. No. Our modern day musicians might take a clue from Narada Muni. Stop playing until your instrument can say Radhika Ramana. Just a joke, don't take it so seriously. He's blaspheming the great guitar gods. So Narada Muni came, and Vyasadeva, exemplifying a true disciple, even though he's incarnation of God, he teaches us by example, if there's a question, if there's a doubt, you refer it to your spiritual master. You don't try to solve it on your own. You bring it to your spiritual master. So Vyasadeva asked Narada Muni, Gurudev, please tell me, what is the root cause of my dissatisfaction? That's significant. Root cause. He wants to get to the bottom, the real cause of the disturbance. Narada Muni immediately pointed out, yes, Vyasadeva, look what you did. You took the one Veda, edited it, broke it out into four divisions. Very good. And upon that, you also compiled the 108 Upanishads, because the Vedas, as we learn from Bhagavad Gita, mostly deal with the material modes of nature. But the Upanishads deal with what is beyond the modes of nature, transcendence. Very good. Then you have taken all that is there in the Vedas and the 108 Upanishads and explained them within the historical narrations of the Puranas. Notice I use the word history, not story. The Puranas are not fables. They're not mythology, like some people think, Greek mythology. But the Hindu scriptures is not mythology. They're history. So he did that with the Puranas. And then Narada said, and you did that Mahabharata, very good. You have the Itihasas. And then, Vyasadeva, you made your masterpiece, the Vedanta Sutra, which is so scholarly. It's brilliant work, but even though you have done all this, you're unhappy because you forgot something. Narada Muni said, you forgot to describe Krishna and his devotees and how they relate, which is known as bhakti, devotional service. So therefore, Narada Muni instructed Vyasadeva to compile his final masterpiece, Srimad Bhagavatam, which would describe the Absolute Truth and how the Absolute Truth is relating to his devotees. Because the main line of Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important line, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Everyone can say, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. That there may be so many avatars, so many incarnations, but Srimad Bhagavatam is loudly proclaiming, yes, there are so many incarnations and avatars, but who is the origin? Krishna. He is the origin. And he himself has no origin. Single source. Very special. So, my reading, that's called the preamble. That's just to get your attention. Do I have your attention? Yes. If you're in favor, say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So this is where we pick up. Shonaka, if you remember who he was, the leader of the sages, he says, O Suta, the great and transcendentally powerful Vyasadeva heard everything from Sri Narada Muni. So after Narada's departure, What did Vyasadeva do? It's a good, a valid question. Sutta Goswami says, on the western bank of the river Sarasvati, which is intimately related with the Vedas, there is a cottage for meditation at Shamyapras, which enlivens the transcendental activities of the sages. In that place, Srila Vyasadeva, in his own ashram, which was surrounded by berry trees, sat down to meditate after touching water for purification. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking in devotional service, bhakti yoga. Without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead, along with his external energy, which was under full control. So Vyasadeva sat down for meditation. He didn't have a cell phone in those days, so yes, if you have a cell phone, it would be a good idea to click it. So notice he sits down for meditation and he can see the absolute personality of Godhead, and side by side he can see this external energy. Somebody asked me earlier today, Prabhu, what is the title of your lecture? My title is The Maya of Maya. And you'll see why I'm saying that. So Maya now has been introduced. It's the external energy. We learned that from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. It's also known as the inferior energy. It's external, it's inferior, and it's illusory. Let us now go to the two main verses that I want to speak about. Yaya samohito jiva atmanang tri gunatmakam paropi manute nartang tatrikam chabi padyate. Due to this external energy, a living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks, that's the key word, thinks of oneself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. Here is our whole life, every one of us. This is applicable to everyone, top to bottom, no exceptions to the rule. We have this external, illusory, inferior energy. The living entity, that's me and you. We learned that also from Bhagavad Gita, the soul, the eternal principle, the eternal person. But because we are influenced by this material energy, which comes in three different flavors, goodness, passion, ignorance. These three modes, we learn from the Bhagavad Gita, are constantly vying for supremacy. So it's no wonder we wake up in the morning sometimes and go, what's going on? Yes, the modes of nature are attacking. That's why people who are spiritually alert, they get up early in the morning, before sunrise, when the mode of goodness is flowing, and they begin their spiritual activities so that they can immunize themselves. When you are immune, then you can ward off the attack of disease. So therefore, spiritually minded people rise early. Architadas, how much before sunrise does the spiritual practitioner arise? Hour and a half before sunrise. So that you can get ready for those modes, so that when they attack, you can, Mama said, knock you out. Yes. How do you knock out Maya? How do you knock out the modes?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. First thing we should be doing every morning, loudly, out loud, chanting this Maha Mantra so you become immune from the effects of this Maya, the modes of nature. Although transcendental, the living entity thinks oneself as a material product. That is, and that's the first thing Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna does not begin explaining Radha Krishna, no. You don't hear in Bhagavad Gita Krishna is talking about the rasa dance and the gopis. No, the first thing Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, the first lesson of transcendental knowledge, you're not the body. You're not the mind. Actually, Narada Muni also pointed this out to Vyasadeva. When Narada Muni first came, and Vyasadeva questioned him, Narada said, why are you identifying with the mind and body as objects of self-realization? He chastised them. Same thing what Krishna does. First thing he's telling us, you're not who you see in the mirror. That ain't you. And you're not what you think you are. No. You're eternal, spirit, soul, part and parcel of God. But because of the influence of the modes of nature, I think of myself as man, woman, American, Indian, father, this, that, so many designations. That's all due to the influence of the modes of nature, and therefore I think in a certain way. But when I become self-realized, when I become enlightened, I no longer think like that. I think of myself, I am Krishna's eternal servant, nothing more, nothing less. And then I begin to act accordingly. Everything I do it in terms of, wait a second, I am the eternal servant of God. Let me act accordingly. That is lesson number one. Lesson number one is, no longer should we think in terms of the body or the influence of this Maya, illusory consciousness. I should think and act in terms of, I am simply the eternal servant of God. And how to foster that, how to reinforce that, how to make that something concrete? You have to chant this Hare Krishna mantra. That's how you do it. The first instruction of Lord Chaitanya, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam means cleansing Maya from the mind. Because it says here, you think yourself a material product. So, how do I stop thinking like that? Very easy. Start chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The more I engage in this chanting, the Maha Mantra, the more I stop identifying myself as a material product, the more I become free from the influence of these modes of nature. It all comes from strong, steady, powerful chanting of... Keep in mind, this is the Maha Mantra. This is not just some ordinary mantra. This is like, you can go to the pharmacy and get generic drug. This is not a generic mantra. I like to make a joke. I've been making this joke for 15 years. This is the mantra on steroids. This is the Maha Mantra. This is the mantra of all other mantras. Nothing is equal to or greater than the Maha Mantra. And it is the most powerful, given to us personally by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those of us who are chanting every day, you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, you wouldn't get up, as Archita said, an hour and a half before sunrise for the past, how many years you've been doing this, Archita Das? How many? 40 years! You think that he's a fool? That he's going to get up an hour and a half before sunrise and waste his time? I know this man. He's not a fool. He was an engineering guy in college. How many here are engineers? Engineers are not stupid people. Okay? So, my friend Archita Das, for 40 years, without fail, every day, getting up an hour and a half before sunrise just to chant this Maha Mantra, he must be getting something out of it. Because he ain't going to waste his time. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, this movement is emphasizing. Chant this Maha Mantra and become immune to the effects of Maya. Become strong. Become powerful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. You can become a spiritual warrior with great power and determination from within. So that when Maya comes, some of my favorite stories. Dhruva. When it was time for Dhruva to die, Dhruva was so spiritually powerful, he stepped on the head of death and entered his Vaikuntha airplane to go back to the kingdom of God. Stepped on the head of death. These so-called athletes, LeBron, what are they going to do when death comes? Dribble a basketball? That ain't going to work. You have to have this spiritual strength from within. Haridas Thakur, twice. Haridas Thakur was tempted in the dead of night by a beautiful prostitute for 3 nights. But Haridas Thakur simply said to the girl, "Well, no problem, we can enjoy it, but I have to finish my chanting first." Problem is, he was chanting 22 and a half hours every day. His rounds were never done. He was chanting 192 rounds every day. "Prabhu, I can't chant 16. Tell it to Haridas Thakur. He'll say, "16? I'm doing 192, man." Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Then the ultimate test. After he passed it, the prostitute came for 3 days. On the third day, she fell down and confessed, "I was sent by the magistrate to pollute you, but now I want to become your disciple. Free me from my sinful reactions." So Haridas Thakur said, "Okay, you stay in this hut, I'll go. You stay here and simply chant Hare Krishna." And she did it. And she became a bona fide Vaishnavi. But after that, as if that wasn't enough, for 3 nights, Maya herself came. That should never happen to us. We're not going to pass that test. But Haridas Thakur, for 3 nights, Maya herself, the illusory energy personified, also came with the same intention. "I will cause him to fall down." Same home run hit. "No problem, let me finish my rounds." For 3 nights, Maya was hearing the chanting of Haridas Thakur, pure chanting, without offense, from the heart, with love. After the third night, Maya said, "I am the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I have bewildered everyone except you, Haridas Thakur. I want to become your disciple." She said, from my husband. Who's her husband? Lord Shiva. From Lord Shiva, he has given me the name of Ram. Everyone say. Ram. But now, Haridas Thakur, from you, I want this Krishna name. So Haridas Thakur initiated her and said, chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Someone may doubt. Prabhu, you said this Maha Mantra is the mantra on steroids. Prove it. No problem. Let's first go to Lord Shiva. From the mouth of Lord Shiva told his wife, Parvati. Lord Shiva told Parvati, I chant this name, Ram. Everyone say? Lord Shiva says that is equal to 1,000 names of God. Anybody here doubt Lord Shiva? Do you think he's making that up? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to doubt Lord Shiva. Okay? So if Lord Shiva says that the name of what? Is equal to 1,000 names of God, take it to the bank. So therefore, Lord Shiva, he chants this name, Ram. Everybody. Ram. Now we go to another book, Mahabharata. And there it is said that if you chant the name Rama 3 times, you get the same benefit by saying once the name Krishna. Now do you understand why this is called the Maha Mantra? So therefore, chanting of this Maha Mantra, this movement is called the Hare Krishna movement. We have a magazine, Back to Godhead, and underneath it says, the magazine of the Hare Krishna movement. That's the movement you joined up, folks. I don't know if, what you're thinking, but that's the movement you did. If you think, wait a second, I didn't join that, then you're in the wrong place. Because that's what this movement is. This movement is the chanting of the, it's not the dancing movement. No, it's the movement designed to promulgate the chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's what you signed up for. Is that all right? Everybody like that? Very good. Let's go to the final verse for tonight. Anartho pashamang sakshad bhakti yogam madhoksaje lokasya janato vidvang strakre satvata sanghitam. So, there are some very nice words here. Everyone say adhoksaja. So, God has millions and millions of names, and according to Lord Chaitanya, each name of God is invested with a certain potency, shakti. So this name, adhoksaja, one more time. It means that God is that person who is beyond the range of the material senses to know or to figure out. He's beyond your range of your senses. Adhoksaja. So someone may say, well, if he's beyond the range of my senses, why bother? Ah, not so fast. Yes, he's beyond the range of your material senses, but if you spiritualize your senses, out of his causeless mercy, he may reveal himself to you. How would you like God to reveal himself to you? Yes. That should be everyone's desire. That is why we chant very, very sincerely, because we want that day to come when God will reveal himself to you. Just as I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, the day will come when Krishna will be looking at you and talking to you. That's the day I'm looking forward to eat with Krishna, dance, or play. What's wrestle? Yes, that. But I have to qualify myself. I must spiritualize these senses, because he's not going to be perceived by these gross, blunt, material senses.
They have to be spiritualized.
The material miseries of a living entity, which are superfluous to the living entity, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. That's why it's called bhakti yoga. Yoga means to link, to connect, to join. And it's the linking process of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, praying, serving. There are 9 different ways we link up with God. And the first 2, hearing and chanting, are the most important, fundamental. Don't talk about the other 7 unless the first 2 are done so much that you become intoxicated. You should be doing so much hearing and chanting that you're intoxicated from hearing and chanting. That's the goal. Do so much hearing and chanting that you're like this, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Yes. That's a great way to drive out Maya. Flood the heart, flood the mind with hearing and chanting. Then the others will gradually happen. But that hearing and chanting must go on day in, day out, year in, year out. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. So Vyasadeva compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam so that you and I will be able to realize God. Indeed, Prabhupada himself says, you will see Krishna within the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it is a great science. It's also a great mystery. It's a great mystery because it's inexplicable. You don't know how it happens, but it happens. Just like the first time I ever ate Mahaprasad. It looked like ordinary spinach. It just looked like some green slop. But when I ate that, I jumped up. Give me more! This is great! What is this stuff? It's Mahaprasad. Yes. And that's why I joined this movement. There was no other place in New York where I could get this green slop. So I had to keep coming. Now look where I am now. Now, how to explain that? Scientifically, though. But you cannot take away that realization I had that day. Or the first day I saw Srila Prabhupada. The first day I saw Srila Prabhupada, what did I think in my heart of hearts as I bowed down to him for the first time in my life? I said to myself, this is great. I have found the living modern Jesus. Ah, this is great. Nobody can take that away from me. In the early days, when I used to go out for preaching, distributing books, my good old friends, the born-again Christians, they would try to chastise me. Don't you know that it says in the Bible that no man comes to God before Jesus? I said, yes, I know that. I was raised that way. I worshiped Jesus, and he showed me the Father, Krishna. Can't argue with me. Sorry. I did it their way. I followed Jesus for 23 years, and the day came, he showed me the Father. No problemo. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. So I hope my goal was that hopefully you will leave this temple room enthused and enlivened and encouraged to take up this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra with great enthusiasm. I hope that I was able to do that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And as they say in some churches, go in peace. Amen. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.